Heavenly Father, we are so blessed to have with us this man of God and woman of God who love you. And I just reflect on what they shared with us this morning, and the compassion that you've put in their hearts for other people just shines through them, and it shines through them in Haiti as well. And we ask, Lord, that you would bless us, that your Spirit would speak through the two of them, that you would encourage us and instruct us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, John.
We are so glad that we can be here today. One of the great privileges of being a missionary is that God placed us in Haiti to serve to the people in Haiti, but he didn't just call us to preach the word to the people in Haiti. God wants us to share with whoever comes across our path. And so when we come back to the States and we get a visit with our churches, visit with our friends, we count it a huge privilege to be able to tell people God is at work. God is at work in Haiti. And hopefully our stories, hopefully our testimonies will encourage people to look and look around and see how God is working around you in your life wherever you're at. Last week we celebrate our 15-year anniversary of UCI. yeah, praise God. John has been there his whole life, and I've been there since 1996, so a long time. But for UCI, God placed that on our hearts. It started so small. It started so insignificantly. It started so uncertainly what was going to happen. But 15 years ago, we took our two little girls, 2 and 6 years old, left the United States, and went to a place that didn't have running water, didn't have electricity, had horrible roads, very remote, and right smack dab in the middle of people who were worshiping Satan. Satan, the father of lies, the Satan who always wants to harm us. And God has protected us so mightily. And God has shown us so mightily that he wants to do great works in this world of ours. The harvest is there. The harvest is there. He's just looking for workers to go out there. So we're just so glad that we can be there. We're so glad that we can still go over there and we can come back and share with you. And I'm just going to let Jonjun talk about how worthy, how absolutely worth it is for you guys to be here right now, worshiping the Lord, being here in Beersford, serving him, learning about him. It is a good and great God that we serve, and he has done marvelous things.
Thank you, Christy. And I'll start with that same thing Christy just said. It's just amazing what the Lord is doing in our lives. Sometimes you don't even imagine. You don't even imagine what's going on. But when you really look, there was no other place, to be, in the presence of the Lord. For myself, I knew, living in a non-Christian home, what that meant. And today I can see, I've been to the two sides of the coin, being non-Christian for most of the time of my life, and look at what the Lord has done. And then I can talk for the whole day, but let's let the Lord talk more. But it's been amazing, guys, and thank you, Pastor John. You've been a great help in my life too, and my other pastors that you trained down in Haiti, with your family too. Thank you guys for who you are in the Lord, and keep on doing that, because the reward that we are looking at is not here. One day, we all will get the final prize that we are fighting for. And let's open our Bible into Ephesians chapter 2. Read that for us. I'll be reading in a different version. It's the Holy Bible, contemporary in the English version of it. But it's, I know you are very good in English. That will be you will catch up with me pretty quick. But thank you, guys, for being here this morning. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Let's, in Haiti, we'll be acting like you are in the Haitian church for a little while. So that means I'll keep you for all day long. That's not what I'm saying. But some people will say, oh, no. But When we read the scripture there, we stand by the reverence of God. We stand for the reading of the Bible. So if you find Ephesians chapter 2, please stand. Let's read it together. Chapter 2, verse 1 to 10. Thank you, guys. He said, in the past, you were dead because you sinned and fought against God. You followed the ways of the world and obeyed the devil. He rules the world, and his spirit has power over everyone who doesn't obey God. Once we were also ruled by the selfish desires of our bodies and minds, we had made God angry, and we were going to be punished like everyone else. But God was merciful. We were dead because of our sins, but God loved us so much that he made us alive with Christ. And God's wonderful kindness is what saved you. God raised us from the dead to life with Christ Jesus, and he has given us a place beside Christ in heaven. God did this so that God did this so that in the future world we could show how truly God and good and kind He is to us because of what Christ Jesus has done. You were saved by faith in God, who treat us much better than we deserve. This is the God's gift to you. Not anything you have done on your own. It isn't something you were earned, so there is nothing you can brag about. God planned for us to do good things and to live as he has always wanted us to live. That's why he sent Jesus to make us what we are. The words of the Lord. Praise be to God. Thank you. Father God, thank you for who you are. Thank you, Lord, because you are coming to this place. You left your throne and come into this earth so that we can have life. Father God, we are so thankful for all of us here today. And please, speak to us, Father. Do not let me say things I wanted to say, but help me to be able to point that people to your word and your word alone. Help us, Father God, in Christ Jesus' way. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you. Well, it's a wonderful passage. Paul wrote this letter to the Ephesians church, the Christians that are already there, and you can see that because it's not something I'm trying to say. And verse 1, chapter 1, you can see that clearly that Paul wrote this letter to the Christian church there, to the Christians there. But the thing that I wanted you to follow along with me, it's been amazing to see why Paul did write this letter to the Christians. You know, they're already there. Why he needs to write this? And there's probably three reasons Paul wrote this book to the Christian there. First of all, it's to help the new convert to grow in Christ, to grow in the knowledge of God in the church. To grow in the knowledge of God in the church. The second reason, probably he wrote them, so that he wants to promote unity among the Christians, among the Jews and the Gentiles. For example, the Jews probably don't feel like, well, can I go together with those people? No, maybe not. But we see that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 to 22. We have no time to read all of this. We see that in Ephesians 4, 1 to 16. And the third reason is probably to encourage the Christian to stand firm against the power of the enemy, because you are at war with the enemy. And we can read the Ephesians 5, 4 and 5 and 6. You can see all of those things. But the thing is, let's look at the how the letter, the design of this, it's very, very nice. Look at Paul in chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. He greet the Christians there beautifully. He greet them. And right up at the verse 3 and the following, he, again, Paul tried to praise them for their spiritual blessings. Just you are adopted by Christ and all of those things. And thirdly, Paul took that time to pray for the church. Verse 15 to 23, pray for them all. And he will start that verse 2 like this. In the past, you were dead. Let's take a little bit of time and think about that. Dead body has no life. You pass somewhere by, like a cemetery, there is nobody talk because they are finished. And then Paul want to describe sin like this. And this is where we are. We will take a little time, a bit of time, to look at that. He said, in the past, you were dead because of what? Because of our sins and of our transgressions. I take a little bit of time to look to the Bible and see where they describe, other places where they describe unsaved people, group of people. How they describe this. So we'll see, Paul. In 2 Corinthians 2, in 2 Corinthians 4, 3 to 4, Paul described that people there as blind. If you are unsaved, you are blind to this world. You don't see anything. Paul and Romans 6:17, he described again the unsaved or the unsaved as the slave of sin. That is, slave keepers. Sin keep us away from God's work. We are doing the enemy's work instead. In John, in the Apostle John, in his book, in John 3, 19 to 20, he called the unsaved the lover of the darkness. So we want to do things where people stay in the darkness and do all of those things. So if they describe sin in a different way. In Mark, in Mark 2, 17, he described as sick. But all of those things I'm saying there, you see, even if I'm sick, I can move a little bit. I can move a little bit. And then Paul in second in Ephesians 2:12, Paul describes sin as the alien, foreigner, stranger, so people that are not together with God. And Luke 15 describes sin as the lost. We are lost into this world. But imagine how Paul just greet somebody nicely like this, just tell them all of the blessings they are, like in Christ, and just pray for them, and start something like this. You are dead, and you remember this. Paul got four things he wanted to tell those people through that Ephesians 2, 1 to 10. There was four things, and he wants to tell the Christian church there. And those four things probably for you and I today. We'll try to learn them together. He wanted to remind those people, he wanted to remind them that they were lost. They were lost in the sin years ago. So can you imagine that? Verse 1 to 3. Let me read it again. It's in the past. You were dead because of your sin and you fought against God. You followed the ways of this world and obeyed the devil. He rules the world and his spirit has power over everyone who doesn't obey God. Once we were also ruled by the selfish desire of our bodies and minds, we had made God angry and we're going to be punished like everyone else. Paul wanted to put himself into that package. We learned yesterday about a lot of good things, like compassion. So we need to be able to look at other people also. Because we are here this morning, we are saved, ready to go to heaven. What about the other people? What about the lost crowd out there? What about them? Do we need to be able to go and share what God gave us with them? That year that year 2005, when we started that ministry, some of you were here this morning. God did a major, major thing in my community. A community where, like, the voodoo priests, they are there to. There was a little kids here. We were not saying all of those things. They don't need to hear all of those things. But the voodoo priests, they do all dirty job you can imagine. My dad, December 81, got killed by one of those guys. My dad destroyed, his life gone. And you know, that guy that killed my dad, we met him in that jail cell. And now he is one of the believers in our church today. This guy is good. After the earthquake, that guy gave more staff for the earthquake people that got nothing in Port-au-Prince than anybody else. He's part of us today. And I asked him the other day, I said, well, you've been a Christian for 7 or 8 years now, or 9 years. Can you tell us how see God in your life? He said, my friend, let me tell you, I was dead inside. All of those things that I didn't know why I did them, because I did them because the enemy allowed me to do so. But when God came into my life, all changed. And I think you and I are here today for a purpose. We will see that later. God called every one of us here for something bigger than ourselves. But let me tell you what he says there. He wanted to reminded the Christians there that they who where their help come from. Second of all, he wanted to remind them, it's me, God, that do all of those things. And we'll see that in verse 4-7. Everything I'm talking about, it's God. There should be more God out of us and less of ourselves. It's all God that changed this world. You know what we need to do? We just need to be obedient to God. Look at what it says in verse 4-7. In that same chapter. It says, but God was merciful. We were dead because of our sin, but God, we were dead because of our sin. But God loved us so much that He made us alive with Christ. And God was merciful in kindness, and what He saved you. God raised us from the dead to Christ Jesus. He was giving us a place beside Christ in heaven. Can you imagine that? Even today, we are here for a little while, but there was an eternity that waiting for us. This is why you and I doesn't need to be afraid of things that are going into this world. There was an eternity plan for us all. There was one friend of us, he's an ex-rich doctor too, because this is our story. We got a lot of him to tell you today about this. Because he said, you know, when you guys came to my house to share the gospel with me, his name is Nelson. He said, when you come to share that good news with me, I try to put a curse or spell on you, somehow you get killed not to come back. But I found out one thing, it's not easy to kill Christians, amen? He said, I found out one thing. It's not easy. Takes me all of the time to put all of that spirit call upon them all. But I can't do that. Because you know what? We are not on our own work. Because God is doing that. When Christy is telling all of that thing going to UCI, all of those things, well, it's not really us that did anything. God is doing his work through us. The other day before we came, I asked Carrie, our second daughter, like John said, I need somebody to pray for me. I really, really feel like, well, I need some prayer. And then Carrie, our second daughter, said, well, I can pray for you, Dad. You know how she prays? She said, God, do not let wherever Dad and my mom go to tell that story. Do not let them take that story as their own. Help them to remember it's you that change people's life. It's you that do all of those things. And we felt like, wow, that is powerful enough. It's God. God. Paul wanted to remind them about it's not them that do that work. He wanted to let them know. And third of all, he wanted to remind them about the salvation. The salvation is a free gift. It's not because of anything that you and I do. Let's look at that in verse 8 and 9. You were saved by faith in God, who treat us much better than we deserve. This is God's gift to you, and not anything you have done on your own. It's something you have made, you have earned, so that nothing you can brag about. We can come here this morning and say, hey, look at what we do. We changed the community of Cayman. A lot of people came to know God. It's nothing we can do. It's all God. My friend, if there is any one of you here this morning, knowing that Jesus is offering this gift, sometimes it's too free to be true. Sometimes I need to add something into it. I grew up Catholic. We need to put work into what Jesus did. No. Jesus plus nothing for us to go to heaven. A free gift is I give you something and nothing in return. If I exchange gift with you for Christmas, I did something. But Jesus come and give himself for us all and ask us nothing in return. So we don't work for this. It's a free gift. That one guy we have in our community that started coming to change my community, I would say, it's when I went at that night to that voodoo ceremony, maybe at my own risk, because two people that watch overnight said, if you go there, you can get killed. And as people that watch over that compound, we are not responsible. We tell you no. But another guy said, well, what about we just go there and share the gospel with those people? They are lost. They are lost. And we went up there. And there was more than 50 men worshiping. It's only two of us. If there's 50 men and two of you, that's a fair game if they want to kill you, right? Easy. But you know, after when we read just John 3:16, just that verse, and then everybody folded up their drums, everybody went back home. And now today, like I said, like the next morning, that guy came to the house. I want to know if there is anything to talk about is for me too. Can I earn that free gift? Can I earn that Jesus that you earn? And he gave his life to Christ. And that guy led so many, like 20, like I said this morning, probably 20 or more ex-witch doctors are worshiping in our church today. It's just because of what God is doing. This gift is for anybody, anyone. We just need to be able to obey God and go. And then the fourth thing he wanted to remind those people, they are not dead no more. Before Christ, remember, we were dead. Dead body has no life, cannot move. But now we are alive in Christ Jesus. Now we can do something. Yesterday afternoon, it was so wonderful to be here in the mission conference that Pastor John put together with his team. To know that we got a world to go out there to. We got people to share the story with. Look at what it says in the verse 10. Verse 10, it says, God planned for us to do good things and live as he has always wanted us to live. That's why he sent Christ to make us what we are. Since the beginning of this world, there was a plan for us to be able to live well. No sickness, no cancer, no people hungry in this world, all of those things. But the enemy came and messed up everything. But that doesn't mean the plan of Christ is done. He came to die, and redeem this world. He came to die for us all and redeem us. And we were dead in our sin. Now he makes us alive again for one purpose. He's to go into this world and share Christ Jesus with other people. One pastor friend in Haiti, he's one of our professors at the school also. He said, if somebody got no desire, somebody got no desire to share Christ with somebody else, I don't know if we can say that you are saved. Because there should be something in there. It's not like you need to preach that as anybody preached about that. There should be something in you that tell you, this guy need to know about Christ. And then I said, Willie, that is true. If we have no compassion for other people out there, no compassion for those who are suffering right here in Beresford, South Dakota, we don't have no need, no feeling for those people, something we need to talk about, there was something needed to be changed. Because we were dead also, and now we are alive. And live people move, live people go places. My friend, this is our job to reach this world for Christ Jesus. Do not get me wrong in this, knowing that you work to be saved. No. You are saved to work, not work to be saved. If you got under verse 8 to 9, it's only by grace through faith alone you are saved. But when you are saved, meaning you are alive in Christ to serve Jesus Christ. Years ago, you are serving. You were dead in your sins, serving that evil and do all of those things. At least for me, whatever what it was, I used to be in all of those voodoo ceremonies, do sacrifices and do all of these things. This is what that evil require. But now I'm a follower of Christ. Like Paul said, Paul at some point said he was the doulos, he was the servant of this world. But now, after being knowing Jesus as the Savior, he's the doulos of Jesus. He's the slave for Christ. And this is what we're supposed to be today, the slave of Jesus. Whatever he tells us to do, this is what we do. And let's look in under Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. So you don't need to be a pastor only to be able to preach the gospel. We can do it in a lot of other ways. Because we are here to do one thing. That's chapter 4, verse 7. Verse 7, Christ has generously divided out his gift to us. In the same chapter, verse 11 and 12, in the same chapter, verse 11, Christ chose some of us to be apostles, prophets, missionaries, pastors, and teachers. In verse 12, so that his people will learn to serve and his body will grow strong. So this is one reason that we are saved, not to sit in one place. There was a guy from California, a lot of people know about him, like Francis Chan. It's a church, it's a big church with thousands of people. And Francis Chan almost lived that church. Actually, yes, he will be in Hong Kong, being a missionary in Hong Kong. Because he said every Sunday, people come and sit down in that pew, sit down here. And then there was a wall dying out there. And then bring me money, and they're offering it. They know that I need money. And then bring me those things. And then finally, this is it. No, that's not it. We are here to serve Christ. We are here to tell about Jesus. Wherever we go, we need to be able to let other people know. I was dead like you are. I was doing all of those things as you are. But now, look at what Jesus did for me. We need to have a testimony. We have to have something to tell the world. There was one guy to finish. I want to finish this way. I want to show you a couple of things what the Lord has done. Because of who he is, before I read that quote from that guy. It's been amazing how the Lord take one place with nothing on it and just change it for himself. And one guy told us, he said to Christian, I said, woe to you guys. That's a big word. If you say that you are the one that changed that place, keep the name of God high. He's the one that did all of those things. While Chris is looking for, there was four pictures, just the short presentation, short one. Yeah, if you go back one, ma'am, like just one. Like we said, it's there was no way. 15 years ago, we would be able to get all of those people to come. That most of them, like I said, they're worshippers of voodoo. This is what they do. It's the only thing that I didn't know. But look at what the Lord has done. And then one more picture. We've got how the Lord take this place from, like, we see that in the Sunday school. No kids go to school. Now 1,300 kids go to school. It's been amazing. But there was one last. Yeah. This is what most interesting to me, the theological students that take my place today. And one at some point, they were as anybody else. But now, God gave them a ministry. And like 17 churches being planted, not by John and Christy no more, like I said, by them doing the same work. Look for the lost people. Let's read from that. There was a guy that actually, you guys are fantastic for this because you are doing exactly what that guy described in this book and described in the book of Ephesians 2. Exactly what it's called itself, the gospel patrons. I said that word well? Gospel patrons. So it's all by John Weinhardt. Look at what he said on one page, page 124, if I believe. I just trying to read this. And he said one thing that's very interesting there. I would like for you to be able to hear from this also. It's a new book. What basically that lady said, he said, like, I am now in Christ, less for me, more for Christ. If I need to live for one day alone, let me live for Jesus. Meaning, what? He says, go out there and look for every soul that I can tell them there is a Savior. I think this is why you and I are here today. We are here for one thing and one thing alone. To tell people that Jesus saved me. He can do the same for you. I was dead as you were, but Jesus made me alive again. One guy, he's probably 52 years old. Frank is a witch doctor. One time I met him and I shook his hand, he said, I'm 50 years doing witchcraft. There was no pastors that shake my hand. Some pastor would say, you make your bed, you gotta die on it. What make you come into my place? And I tell him, I was probably as dead or more dead as you are. Jesus loves you. God loves you. He sent his son for you. And I heard from one of our church planters. Now he's going to that church right now. I just while in the U.S., they talked to me about that. This is what we gotta do, my friend. We are saved to serve. This is what we are here. Thank you for being here this morning. I hope I didn't bore you too much. But let me tell you, we are alive. Let's move. Let's move into this world for Jesus. Our reward won't be here. And then, do not get me wrong again. If you are not saved yet, do not move to be saved. You can't save yourself by moving. Jesus, first of all, then move. If you are here this morning, you don't know Christ as your Savior, this is the best time to have Jesus in your life. Then move, because it's a free gift. May God bless you.